Can you please open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1? Philippians chapter 1. The verse we will consider this evening is verse 6, but we will read the entire section. So our reading will be from verse 3 through to verse 11. Hear the word of the Lord, beginning at verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defence and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offence till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Amen. The title for the sermon this evening is The Confidence of Completion. Let's open in a word of prayer and commit this time unto the Lord. Father, we thank you for another wonderful night you've given to us. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we do have to study your word. Father, we come before you hungry. We want to hear from you, Father. I do pray that you would meet our needs this evening. Pray these things in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. Have you ever started a project that you have not completed? You began with very good intentions, started with great enthusiasm, perhaps made progress, but the finish line was never crossed. Perhaps this is a characteristic of yours. You have half-completed projects lying around everywhere. Building projects not completed, craft half done, photo albums not finished, gardens neglected, books half read, or whatever else it may be in your life. Something gets started, but it never gets finished. To a certain extent, we all struggle with this. Finishing everything that we start is often difficult. And sometimes it is a wise decision to not finish something that we have started. But often not finishing is a result of laziness, carelessness, or some other fault on our part. Thankfully, our God is not like this. He will complete every work that he begins. And it is this thought that forms the focus of the apostle in this particular verse of this salutation. And it is this thought of God completing what he commences that will form the focus of the sermon this evening. And we will do this under two headings, they being the commencing of the work and the completing of the work. But before we consider our first point, we must spend a small moment on the first phrase of verse 6, for it is vital in understanding the force behind what is said. The apostle declares, being confident of this very thing. Now, the language used here is very strong. The phrase, being confident, means to be firmly persuaded, to be utterly convinced, an absolute confidence. This was a settled persuasion of mind and will. It is the language of a man who has no doubts whatsoever about what he's teaching. He is 100% sure that this was the truth. This strong language is imperative to identify and understand, for it lends great credence and produces unfaltering confidence in the precious truths revealed. But what was it that the apostle was so confident about? Well, firstly, let's consider the commencing of the work. The commencing. Verse 6, being confident this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you. Obviously, to understand this verse, it is of vital importance to identify what this good work spoken of is referring to. For obviously, this will determine as to how one approaches this verse. Amongst conservative commentators, there are two predominant interpretations of this particular verse. The most common being that this work is speaking of salvation, and the second view being that this good work is referring back to the fellowship or the partnership in verse 5. Now, the interpretation that we will follow this evening is that this good work is referring to conversion rather than the partnership. And the reasons for this are as follows. Now, number one, the preposition used. In verse 6, notice that it says the work in you. The work that takes place is done by God in you. If this was the fellowship, which if we remember was talking about the believers giving, this would not be a work done in them by God, but rather this would be a work done by them for God. So the preposition used makes more sense to understand this verse as conversion, because conversion is an internal work. Number two, the content of the verse. Now, the argument put forward to defend that this work is fellowship is that it is just a continuation of the thoughts of the previous verse. So the previous verse, Paul speaks of the fellowship of the believers, and it is believed that verse 6 is just a continuation. But what we must understand is that this phrase, being confident of this very thing, is called a digressive phrase. And what this means, it's as though Paul is saying, wait a minute, I want to tell you this before I go back to what I just said. So this does not necessarily have to relate directly to verse 5. The third reason is the time frame given in this verse. The time frame given says the day of Jesus Christ. This is referring to the rapture, which makes more sense if interpreted as conversion rather than fellowship. And the fourth reason is the Greek word used. Now, the Greek word translated begun is only used once in this exact form in the New Testament, and that's in Galatians 3:3. And there it is clearly referring to salvation. So why not interpret this verse in the same way? So these reasons are why we will interpret this text in this particular light this evening. And if you disagree, that's fine. But in light of this interpretation, we see that Paul proclaims that it was God who began the work of salvation in them. And this statement emphasizes God's personal involvement in their lives. And this by itself is a truly glorious affirmation. That the Almighty God would be personally involved in his creation's life. That he would be actively involved in saving those who are his enemy. Now think about that. Let that grab hold of your heart. This is the glorious grace of God, that even though mankind are at enmity with him, he is still actively involved in their lives. What great love, great mercy, and grace. The verb translated begun means to commence or to make a beginning. This particular verb was used to describe the beginning of a sacrifice. This was its predominant use in the Greek vernacular. As I mentioned before, this exact verb is used in Galatians 3:3, which says, "Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh?" In this verse, Paul teaches that the Holy Spirit particularly begun the work of salvation. And this is the same truth taught in our text, that God, via his Spirit, takes the initiative in starting his work in us. Salvation always begins with God. It started with the decree of God to save, but the emphasis in this context is the time of conversion. The believers in Philippi were converted because God first worked. Their salvation and our salvation is initiated by God. Now, God must make the first move. If God didn't make the first move, we would never move towards Him. We in of ourselves would not seek God out. He always makes the first move. Salvation is solely a gracious work of God. It is interesting that in the account recorded in the book of Acts of Paul's time in Philippi, that Luke declares that the Lord opened Lydia's heart. And this is the same idea as this text. Lydia's heart had to be opened in order to respond to the gospel. Without this work, her conversion would not have taken place. God must first work in conversion. And this fact that God must initiate should not surprise us because of what we were before conversion. If we remember last Wednesday night, Pastor Peter preached an excellent sermon reminding us that we were dead before salvation. This meaning we were incapable of communicating and fellowshipping with God. Our understanding was darkened. We had hard hearts. And this describes each and every one of us prior to conversion. We were incapable of having a relationship with God. In fact, we did not even desire this because our hearts were so hard, our eyes were spiritually blinded. Hence, it was necessary for God to begin the work, for we would never seek Him if He first didn't seek us. Now, the first move or the beginning of the work is a reference to the convicting work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit must convict one of sin, righteousness, and judgment before one ever sees their need of a Savior. Now, no one will be saved if the Holy Spirit doesn't commence the work. The Holy Spirit must break down the hardness of heart, remove the scales from one's eyes. Without this wonderful work, conversion is an impossibility. Now, obviously, the wonderful work of salvation is not restricted to the Holy Spirit. All three members of the Godhead play a part in salvation, just as they did with creation. Some theologians state it like this: God the Father planned it, Jesus Christ provided it, and the Holy Spirit performs it. Now, all three members of the Trinity perform various tasks in the different facets of salvation. But the truth before us is clear. And we must understand that if God didn't first work, then salvation cannot happen. If God's work of grace doesn't occur, then conversion is an impossibility. But we must understand that this truth does not negate human responsibility in any way. Now, genuine salvation involves a human response to a divine beginning. And the Word of God is clear about this. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shalt be saved. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And so on. Now, the Scriptures are clear. We must decide whether we accept the gift of salvation. But we would never get to have this decision if God did not first work. And this, my friend, is a vital truth to understand. Now, it is an awesome truth to think that God actually works in us, that the Holy Spirit initiates the work of salvation in us. Even though we were the enemies of God, we were dead in sin, no inclination towards God, yet God in His grace works in us. And this is a truly staggering thought. This is the wonderful grace of Jesus, and this should bring us to our knees in praise and adoration, that God began the work in us, even though we were His enemies. You know, what marvelous grace, what glorious mercy and majestic love that God would commence the work of salvation in a hell-bound sinner like you and me. Now, this truth is also important for us in our evangelizing efforts. It is not us who does the saving work, and we must remember this. It is simply our job to plant the seed, and it's up to the Holy Spirit to do the convicting work and the individual to respond. And it's very important for us to not try and do the work of God. We don't do the soul winning. We simply share the good news and pray. We must remember what our part is and what God's part is, and to not step over that line. Now, we don't take care of the results. It's not our job. It's God's. And we must let God do His job, for He is much better at it than we are. And we must witness and pray and leave the results to God. Now, this fact that it is God who initiates salvation is also of vital importance, for it is this truth that forms the foundation of our eternal security. And it is this that the focus of the apostle is within this verse. And this leads us to our second heading, the completing of the work. The completing of the work. Once again, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. We began by identifying within this verse that the apostle had a supreme confidence. He was firmly persuaded. And although this does refer to the first half of this verse, now, he was convinced that the believers were saved, this revealed by their fruits, particularly their fellowship. But this absolute certainty is predominantly rooted to this final phrase. The apostle was utterly convinced that God would complete the work that he had begun. Now, this was his firm conviction. And it was the fact that it was begun by God that formed the foundation of his confidence that it would be completed. Now, if man had been the agent, then there would be no such confidence. The verb perform means to bring something to a desired goal, to fully complete a task, to accomplish, to perfect. It was the apostle's deepest conviction that God would complete the work that he had begun, that he would thoroughly bring to a purposeful end the works that he chose to begin. He was firmly persuaded that God will not permit his good work of grace to remain unfinished. Or as Paul puts it in the book of Romans, those who he justified, them he will glorify. In other words, the believer has eternal security. And this, beloved, is a wonderful truth, isn't it? No, God will complete every work that he begins. There is no chance of failure. Now, when God saves, he saves completely and eternally. He will not commence a work and then abandon it. And this is a truly comforting doctrine. No, one that should thrill our hearts, make us feel safe and secure. This completing the work of salvation has two aspects to it, but one main focus in this verse. Now, when we speak of salvation, we usually use three terms: justification, which is the past act, sanctification, which is the present, and glorification, which is the future. Now, the first point of the sermon was justification, and the completing of this work is both sanctification and glorification. So sanctification is the work of God's grace in the heart of the believer, conforming us into the image of Christ. And this is the continuous lifelong work. This will never be completed in this life. And this is included within this completing of the work. But the predominant focus of this completing is glorification. Now, glorification is the future and final work of God upon Christians, where he transforms our mortal physical bodies to the eternal physical bodies in which we will dwell forever. And the fact that this is the predominant focus is seen that in the verb perform is in the future tense. So this is something that will be utterly finalized in the future. That day, according to the text, being the day of Jesus Christ. So glorification is the not yet of salvation. Christ has already secured it, and God views us in this light. But it will not come to fruition until the future. We will not be glorified until the future, but we can be absolutely certain that this will occur. No, God will not cast those out who the work of salvation has commenced within. Those who are justified will be glorified. And this is the great hope of the believer. In layman's terms, we cannot lose our salvation. We have eternal security. God will finish the work. God will complete all that he begins. And this is the basis of our security. It is God. If we were relying on man, if we were relying on ourselves, we would be in trouble. But since we are depending upon an almighty, all-powerful, loving God, we have no reason to worry that he won't do what he has said he will. God will complete the work of salvation. You know, Spurgeon said of this verse, God is a worker who completes his works. Where is there an instance of God's beginning any work and leaving it incomplete? Show me for once a world abandoned and thrown aside, half formed. Show me a universe cast off from the great potter's wheel, with the design in outline, the clay half hardened, and the form unshapely from incompleteness. You know, God never does anything in halves. He is not like man. He will complete what he has begun, and this, beloved, is a precious truth. A glorious comfort. We have eternal security rooted in the character of our God. He won't leave the work of salvation half complete. He will finish it. We will be glorified. We will be like Christ. And we, just like the apostle, can be utterly convinced of this. For this verse teaches it clearly, as does many other passages in the New Testament. You know, let me give you just a few. Ephesians 4:30 says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." We are sealed by the Holy Spirit. This can't be broken. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." God is faithful. He will do what he has said he will do. Romans 8:30, "Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified." Those who are justified will be glorified. Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing can separate us from the love of God. 2 Timothy 1:12, "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." And probably the most common verse for eternal security, John chapter 10, verses 28 and 29, which says, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. A wonderful verse, a glorious verse. Nothing can pluck us from the hand of the Father. And all these verses confirm the truth before us. We have eternal security. We do not have to live in fear or succumb to the doubts that Satan plants in our minds. No, nothing at all can separate us from the love of God. God will bring to utter perfection every work that He begins. And we, just like the apostle, need to be firmly persuaded of this. This needs to be the conviction of our hearts. Beloved, as believers, we are eternally secure. And we have no reason to doubt this because it's based upon the character and ability of our God. We don't have to be crippled with the fear and doubt that we might lose our salvation or that our salvation will not be completed because God has no unfinished work. You know, the God who justifies will glorify. We are safe in the arms of God. No one or no thing can pluck us out. We all possess eternal security, a truly wonderful fact. And this was the conviction of the apostle's heart, and it needs to be the conviction of our hearts. All commenced works will be completed. And this evening in closing, I wish to leave you just with two thoughts in regards to the completion of our salvation. Now, number one, we will be like Christ. We will be like Christ. Now, one day we will be free from sin. We will be free from pain and suffering. We will be glorified. We will be like Christ. The work of salvation will be completed, and what a wonderful day that will be. And nevertheless, it's very easy for us as believers to become discouraged when we consider our own sin, our imperfections, and our failures right now. And these should never be ignored or minimized, but neither should they be allowed to overshadow the marvelous reality of the future perfection of every individual believer. Now, we will be like Christ. We will be glorified. God will finish the work. And this should stir great joy from within our hearts this evening. We will be glorified. And the second thought is, we have no reason to doubt or fear. Now, fear of losing salvation is irrational, for we are safe in the arms of God. Now, God will complete His work of salvation. We can confidently declare with the apostle, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Now, my friend, God is not like us. He will never leave a project half done. He will complete every work, and that includes you. And that includes me. We are safe in the arms of Jesus. The work will be completed. Remembering this glorious truth removes the crushing pressures of doubt and fear and produces triumphant joy, gratitude, and anticipation, freeing God's people to live more abundantly and fruitful. Now, praise God. He will complete that which He has begun. And I hope you are firmly persuaded that God is able to keep you.